Good morning. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Live Ministries. Thank you for being with us today and for all those that have supported us last year and beginning to in this year. We just appreciate that so much and all that you've done. We are listener supported, and we appreciate those that keep us on the air. This morning we're going to be in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Now this is it starts out Paul, an apostle, so we know it was him, and it's to the church at Galatia, and he's talking to them there, and we're going to find out that things were going not perfect, and that's just the way it is with churches. I mean, you got imperfect people, and that's what happens. But he was always preaching in love. He wanted to correct people, but he wanted them to walk right. He wanted them to be right in the Lord and to do what they were supposed to. So we'll start in verse 6, chapter 1. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so I say now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul is speaking to this church at Galatia, and he is talking to him. He said, and he's amazed that they've departed from the grace message, and we're going back to works and the law and the things that they had former. When you get saved, it says, behold, all things are come new. That old life is dead, and we shouldn't pick it up, but some people do, and in fact, most people pick up parts of it in some way. After you get saved, you start learning. You start learning about Christ and about what he is about, and in that way you get on track with him and you get straightened up. It's a mistake to think that people need to get straightened up before they get saved. That's Jesus' responsibility, not ours, not somebody else's. It's Jesus. He says, if you'll give me your life, I'll make it right, if you'll follow me. And so that's what we're supposed to do. But he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. In other words, it wasn't very long that this happened. Now, what does this happen? Well, you get false teachers coming in. You get these that come in and they say, well, that sounds all right. But, if you got anybody that starts doing that and it's opposed to the Bible, you just need to quit listening to them right now. But you've got to know the Bible. You've got to know the Word. That's why it tells us to study the Word, not just read, but to know it. That way, when we hear a false message, we know it's a false message. We say, nope, no, wait a minute. That's not right. I'm not going to follow that. And you can hear people on the radio. I do. I hear people on the radio sometimes, and I say, that's a false message. I'm not going to listen to that. I don't do a lot of television things, but I have before, and I've listened to people, and I'm like, well, no, that's false. But some of them are correct, and they're preaching correct, and so we can listen to that. But at this time, they had people that were coming in that were trying to sway them back to Judaism and away from the things that they were supposed to. And even Peter got caught up into it, and he was talking about that in chapter 2. He says that Peter was going back and forth. He was kind of wishy-washy. When he was with the Jews, he was okay with them and the way they were teaching. But when he was with the Gentiles, he said, oh, no, you don't need to do that. And Paul had to get him by the ear kind of and pull him out and say, hey, you know better than this. Quit doing that, you know. And so Paul's saying, that there's some, he said, but there be some that trouble and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, here's the thing they do. They come in and they pervert it, they twist it, they have a semblance of it, but they are not really teaching the truth. And so a lot of these false teachers, when you hear them, they sound like they're doing the right thing. They sound like they know a few things to say to keep you in there, but then they'll start questioning. Well, do you remember this, and have you been taught this, and you need to go ask your pastor this, and they'll leave stuff out. And a lot of times They'll take things, they'll twist it, they'll leave verses out. I know I heard a young man at church last Sunday where we are members, and he was talking about on TikTok, and he said, you know, I was listening to this. He said, and I know my Bible, but he said, I was thinking, hey, wait a minute, you know, if they've got it. But he said, I went back to the Bible and realized they were leaving verses out. They were twisting things, you know. And so he knew the Bible, but even then, he was getting swayed by it a little bit. So we've got to be very careful. We've got to understand that people can do that. I'm telling you right now, everything I say, you should test it. Go to the Bible, see if it says what I said. See if I'm saying the right things. I don't want anybody to just say, oh, well, I believe it because he knows the Bible and he's got some education. I don't want that. And Paul didn't want that. He wanted people to, hey, check me out. Think about this, you know, read about this, study. If you find a pastor, and believe me, all pastors make mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, if they make a mistake, and don't do that to your pastor. I mean, if he makes one little mistake, and don't rake him over the coals and, like, I caught you at something, you know. We all make mistakes. We're in the pulpit, we say things and maybe say a name that's not right, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about twisting the gospel. I'm talking about taking it and perverting it and intentionally trying to mislead somebody. And that's what this was, you know, creating questions in people's minds. That's what Satan did in the garden with Eve. He said, did God really tell you this? You know, that's the way he does. He starts questions, and, you know, we've got a mind. We've got a mind that we start questioning things. We start thinking about things, and we say, well, I don't know. You know, maybe or not, you know. And, we've got to study ourselves. So go back in this. I would urge you to take Galatians and read the whole book. Just read the whole thing. It's a letter. That's what an epistle means. It means a letter. So he wrote this letter to him. I would urge you to go back and read everything again and then read the whole thing so you get all the context of it. Yeah, because I can't get you all the context and what time I've got allotted here. And so he said, which is not another gospel. It was there already, is what he's saying. You know, it was there. People were trying to teach this, but I understand some are coming to you. So then in verse 8, he says this. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, you know, he's saying, hey, I don't care who you hear this from. If they preach any other gospel than which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong language coming from Paul. He's letting them know, hey, I don't care who it is. And even over in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says this of these type of people. He said, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. He's talking about those people that are bringing these things, and he's saying, listen, that was chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to me. It doesn't matter who they think they are, who they pretend to be, or who they promote themselves to be. He said, it doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of persons. And that's what he's saying. He said, that's not what it's about. God accepteth no man's person. We do that. We'll look at somebody and go, well, you know, they're a very renowned person in this community, so we better listen to them. Well, Paul's saying, nope, that's not what it's about. It's all about Christ. It's all about what he has preached. Jesus had his gospel. He came and said, I'm the one. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he laid it down, and that's the gospel that we have to preach. It's not about any other thing. It's not about what we can do. It's not about how we can do things. It's not about how hard you work in church. It's not about how you work in your community. It's not how many mission trips you've been on. It's not how much money you give or how little you give or how you do those things. It's about Jesus Christ. That's how you get salvation. Now, afterwards, we're supposed to work. We're supposed to work. We're obligated to work. We're supposed to do for him. How do we do that? We spread the message. I don't care what vocation you're in. You can spread the message. You can tell people about Jesus. You can find a way. And you could probably get to talk to some people that I wouldn't talk to. There would be some people that would listen to you that would kind of shut me out. And vice versa. There are people that I could talk to that I know that probably would shut you out. You know, we all have our tendencies to listen to those people we know and have something in common with. You know, I've been in farming communities all my life, and so when I talk to someone about Jesus, I usually try to talk about farming, you know, whether it be dirt farming or hay farming or cattle, you know, whatever it is, to make that connection with them so that I get to talk to them about the gospel. But Paul is saying, hey, these guys that are bringing this to you, let them be accursed. That is such strong language. And I look at that and say, hey, you know, a preacher needs to be on his ball when he goes in there and starts preaching so that he's preaching the correct thing. And those that are preaching that false gospel, you say, oh, well, they're making a lot of money and they're doing all this. Believe me, they're going to stand before God. I know we say that a lot, but that's the truth. They're going to have to stand before God and answer for what they've done, how they've misled people, how they've turned people away, how they perverted it into a sense where people thought they were saved, but they really weren't. Tell them, well, if you do this and you do that. So Paul's saying, that's not it. Let them be accursed. And then in verse 9, he repeats this. He said, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said, I told you the truth. I told you the truth. And again, I'm telling you, that's how strong a language he is using, that he would repeat that. That those people, let them be accursed. Now, Paul is not really a person that does as much. In fact, in other parts he says, well, if they're preaching the gospel, let them go. If they're preaching the truth, even though they don't like me. Because there were those that were saying, well, Paul's in prison because he didn't do the right thing. He said, I don't care. I'm not worried about them because they're preaching the truth. As long as they're preaching the truth, I'm all right. But these that are not preaching the truth, he had a problem with. And he had a strong problem with. He had a big problem with. You know, with Peter, he had a big problem. He said, you know, you can't be doing that. So he wasn't going to back up just because that Peter was somewhat in the gospel, that he was the apostle to the Jews. That didn't bother him to get him and say, you're doing wrong. You know, but this Bible speaks for itself. 2 Peter 1:20 said that it's not of private interpretation. And it wasn't written by men, except that they were led by the Holy Spirit to write these words. So these words are God's words. My words don't mean anything without God's word backing it up. Okay? It has to be that way. God's word is true. So when we read this stuff, we know it's true. We can read it and go, oh, okay, I can accept that because I know it's true. You know, we've had people in our lives, I know, that we accepted because they have told us the truth in the past. They've been truthful. They've been honest with us. They've been wise in the things that they've said. So that we accept that. So when they tell us something again, we accept that. And there have been people in our lives that they've not been honest with us. They've not given us wise counsel. So when they tell us something, we go, I don't really believe you. And we all have those people. Well, God's word has been proven out time and time again. If it wasn't just for the fact that it was God's word, it has been proven out. You know, we see this, some of these things, people said, well, that can't be true. That place doesn't exist. Yet over in Israel, they're constantly finding, by excavation, these places that were in the Bible. I mean, we were studying Joshua at my church one time, and they were talking about the temple being set up at Shiloh. And archaeologists at that time had looked and they said, oh, no, it can't be, you know, that must be wrong. Well, while we were studying it, lo and behold, they found where the temple was in Shiloh, exactly like the Bible had said. And so I had a professor was talking about this. He said, God's word has never been proven wrong. Never been proven wrong. It's always been proven right. Everything that comes out proves it to be the truth. It's not been proven wrong. It's always proved right. So every archaeological dig that they do, they prove the Bible. They find it. You know, at one time that they people said, well, David was a mythical figure and he really wasn't a king, that they just wrote these things, the Jews did, and that he really wasn't a king. Well, guess what happened? You bet. In an archaeological dig of a foreign country, they found an inscription about David, the king of the Jews. So it proved it. And that people just had to quit saying that. They've said that about other figures, that they got proved out. So the Bible is always being proven right. But we don't have to have proof. We know it. It's the Word of God. It was given by inspiration to men. That word inspiration means God breathed. So God breathed this to men and said, write these things down. Now, did he allow their personalities to come through? Yes, he did. We see that with Paul. We see that in what he says in these things like this. So he says, these men are accursed if they're not preaching the truth. We gave you the truth. You know the truth. You accepted it when we were there. And if they're saying anything contrary to that, let them be accursed. And he says it twice to let them know how serious he is with this. And then verse 10, he's asking questions. And that's one of the things that Paul uses in his writing to these churches are these questions. He said, do I now persuade men or God? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. It's God, but he's asking them, you know, am I trying to be popular? Because that's what these guys are doing. They're trying to be popular with you. And so many are doing that. They're being popular with people. They won't preach the truth. They won't tell you that right is right and wrong is wrong. And then they're afraid of people leaving the church or whatever it is. And so they won't preach the truth. He said, do I now persuade men or God? You know, who am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? Am I working for the popularity poll over here, or am I working for God? And the obvious answer is, I was working for God. And he said, or do I seek to please men? He said, I'm not working for them, and I'm not seeking to please them. That's not what I was about, and you know that. We are not to be pleasers of men, preachers. That's not what it's about. So when we stand up and we say things, it's not out of hate. People would say, well, you hate people. No, no. And just because I think something is wrong because it says so in the scripture does not mean I dislike a person. I've got friends that are living contrary to the Word of God, but they're still my friends. Folks, you need some lost friends. You need some lost friends. If you don't have lost friends, who are you going to tell about the gospel? That's part of the problem that people do. They get into a church and become insular, and they don't know anybody else except church people. And so they never tell anybody about Jesus. They never get to the point, and they don't remember being lost. They look at these lost people and they say, oh, well, they're terrible people. That's not the case. They're lost. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. But we're not to be pleasers of those people. We're to tell them the truth. Also tell them there's a cure. Folks, I mean, if you've ever been to a doctor and you've received a bad diagnosis, that's not a pleasant thing to sit there and have the doctor tell you something you really don't want to hear, but he knows he needs to tell you the bad news. He needs to let you know this is what's going on and you need some help, because you need to know that and you need to know the cure. So when we tell people about Jesus, we're telling them the bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of that sin is death. That's not a pleasing message, but that's not what it's meant to be. It's meant to let them know the truth, that you've got this problem. We all have this problem. But we need to know that the other side of that is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we get the problem, the wages of sin is death, but we've got the solution. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, not through anything else. Eternal life. We want to let them know that. Paul is saying, I'm not doing this to please men. I'm doing it because God wants me to. He says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I wouldn't be doing what I'm supposed to do. If I sat here and told you everything's going to be all right if you just do whatever I tell you, I would not be a servant of Christ. I would be wrong. I would be doing the wrong things. I might be pleasing to you and let you off the hook, but I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ, you are bound for hell. That's a solid fact. But with Jesus Christ, you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and through him only. Eternal life. And you, if you don't have it today, you can have. Because it says, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, that's what this Bible says, confess the Lord Jesus, that means make him Lord of your life, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. You shall be saved. If you do those things, and it's not just, you know, these magic words you say, it's belief in him, putting your life in his hands and saying, Lord, you take this. You are God. You are Lord of my life now. That means you're going to guide it. You're going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go to you for everything. I'm going to go to you to decide where I need to eat, where I need to go today, what I need to do, who I need to talk to, what I need to watch, what I need to listen to. I'm going to take it all to you and let you guide my life from now on out. And I believe that you are alive. He said, you shall be saved. And the Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I like that. I love that. Whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You are too. See, it doesn't exclude anybody. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you. He wants you. Paul knew this. And he said, I'm a servant of Christ, but I can't be a pleaser of men if I'm a servant of Christ. He's telling these people at Galatia, I told you the truth. Maybe hard to accept, but I told you the truth because I'm a servant of Christ, not of men. I'm not a pleaser of men. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached, this verse 11, was preached to me, is not after man. Not after man. It's not about us, and it's not from us. We didn't create it. We didn't create the gospel. Mankind did not create the gospel. If mankind had created the gospel, it wouldn't be what it is, I promise you. Think about it. If you got to write the gospel, would it be what it is? No. It'd be to your benefit, wouldn't it? It'd be to your benefit. If Paul had written this on his own, it would have been to his benefit. He would have said, make me king, and you will go to heaven. Promote me. Honor me. Worship me. See, it's not of man. It's not of mankind. Mankind didn't create it. God created it. Because he's the only one that could. And so he said, it's not of man. It's not after man. Nobody is going to do this because it doesn't promote them. We're selfish. And we're self-aggrandizing. We all are. We all promote ourselves. I've said this before, but that's the difference between a book that's a biography written by somebody else and a book that's an autobiography written about that person by them. They're different because that person is going to write about themselves in a favorable way because that's the way we all view everything we do. Think about it. When you get in an argument with somebody, you're right. And you presented yourself well. They're wrong. I watched a documentary the other day about a music band, and it was completely one-sided, and I couldn't figure it out till I got to the end, and it was based on a book by that person. They had written it from their standpoint and left everybody out. Everybody else was a bad guy. They were the good guy. That's what we would do if we wrote the gospel. He said, but it is not of any man. It's not of any man. Then he goes on to say this, for I neither received it of man. He said, I didn't hear it from anybody that's a human. Neither was I taught it. No one got me in a classroom and sent me through it. He said, but. So we're going to hear how he got it. So what is he saying? He said, no one told me. In passing or any other thing, I didn't sit in a classroom. I was not schooled in this. So he's saying that these two things did not happen. Well, this leads it up to, okay, how did you get this, Paul? So how do we get things? Someone tells us or we go and get an education. That's how we learn things. If we want to go into engineering, we will enroll in a college so that someone that already knows that and has been taught that can teach us. If we want to find out something, and we can go and we can get online and we can find just about anything. I do it all the time. If I got something that's broken, I'll go online and somebody has already fixed it and they can tell me how to do it. I don't have to go and get an education or be trained in that field. Somebody can tell me because they've already done it. And they say, okay, here's how you do this. And they may demonstrate it. Most time they do. And so we get that. So we can get it from a person that has already done it or we can go and we can get an education, and they can tell us that. But Paul says, I didn't do either of those. He said, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so what do we know about Jesus? He has already been crucified, risen, and ascended back into heaven. But Paul met him on the road to Damascus. Paul met him. He said, Paul, why are you doing this to me? He said, you're persecuting me. Paul was going after these people that he felt like were doing the wrong thing. They were of the way. They were preaching Jesus Christ. So he met him on the road to Damascus. And if we read on, and I don't have time to go into it, but he says he was schooled by Jesus himself. He went into Arabia. He was there for 3 years. And he learned from Jesus. Jesus told us, he said, by revelation, revealing by Jesus Christ. Jesus taught Paul. He didn't get taught by anybody else. He heard it from the master's own words. So Jesus says, Paul, here's the truth. Now, Paul was well versed in the law. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin. He says so in the Bible that if anybody has a right to boast, I do. He knew the scriptures. He knew all these things. He'd been schooled in these things. He was a master of it. He would have had a PhD in the law and all these things by today's standards. And he knew all these things, but yet he had to be told the truth. He didn't accept the truth. He accepted Jesus Christ, but now he had to know the truth because Jesus wanted him to take it to the Gentiles. See, he didn't want it just left with the Jews. He left that with Peter. He said, you're the apostle to the Jews, but he said, Paul, you're to go to the Gentiles, which was just completely opposed to what a man from Paul's background would want to do. He wouldn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. And yet, he did that. His life was completely changed. We know that these things have happened. Paul was completely changed from a Pharisee of the Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin to a man who would sit down and eat with the unclean Gentiles. Why? Because Jesus said, I want you to go and take this gospel to them. He established churches everywhere he went so that word would be continued. And that is why he's writing to these guys and say, hey, you're not telling the truth. You need to be telling the truth, because he knew that those were going to be the places where the gospel was going to go out, and it needed to be the truth. So he wrote them and said, I marvel that you've turned away so soon, but you need to get back to it. And so the book of Galatians is telling him, you need to get back. He tells him how he got the gospel and why it's true. He tells him he doesn't care about who the person is. It's not a popularity contest with him. It's about the truth of Jesus Christ. He tells him how to get back to it and that they must get back to it. So Paul is telling them this all in love, because he wants them to do the right thing. He wants them to have Jesus Christ. I tell you the things today because I want you to have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. And if you have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, I want you to have that fullness of life that he gives. That life more abundant by following after him. Is it easy? Not really. I've had people tell me, oh, I have no problem with it. And usually I find out later on they had a big problem with it. Most people that will tell you, I don't have any kind of problems. Nothing bothers me. I follow after Jesus. Most of them are lying to you. I'll tell you right now, there are things that are difficult for me. It's this old world pulls me in a lot of times, and I have to go back to the Word. I have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help. Sometimes it's difficult. Are there days that are easier? Yes, there are days that are easier, just like anything. But I'm telling you right now, the days that you start out with the Lord are the easiest days. The days that you start out with Jesus in a prayer and say, Lord, guide me today, those are the easiest days. I want you to have that life more abundantly. But if you don't have that life, I want you to have it. I want you to know that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God because of Adam's sin. And I want you to know that because of that, the wages of sin, what we have earned is death, that spiritual death. Not just a physical death, it's a spiritual death, away from Jesus for eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. There's no other way. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't do anything that would amount to anything before God. Because he said all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's only the righteousness of Jesus that allows us into heaven by accepting him as our Savior and giving it all to him. And I want you to do that today. And if you do that today, contact me and let me know and where you live. I'll try to find you a good Bible-believing church and Bible-preaching church so you can get in there and learn how to live the life of Christ. So please accept him today. My name is Charles Morgan. This has been Word is Alive Ministries.